What would you do if you found something so valuable, so life-altering, that you gladly gave up everything else just to have it? I am Rob West. That's the image Jesus gives us in Matthew 13. Two short parables, one powerful message. Today we'll take a closer look at the treasure hidden in the field and the pearl of great price, and how they speak to our financial fears in uncertain times. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. In Matthew 13:44, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all he has and buys that field." And in verses 45 and 46, he says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all he had and bought it." In both parables, something of immense value is found, and in both cases, the response is total surrender, but not begrudgingly, not with fear, with joy. That joy is everything. It's the natural overflow of discovering something so worthy, so beautiful, so eternally good, that it reorders everything else in your life. All other pursuits pale in comparison. Now, let's be honest. In today's economy, with interest rates up, inflation lingering, and layoffs still making headlines, it doesn't always feel like we're standing on treasure. Maybe it feels more like you're grasping for security, or calculating risk, or waking up in the night wondering how you'll make it through the month. If that's you, you're not alone. The fear is real. But so is the invitation of Jesus. Jesus is telling us there is something more valuable than everything you own, something worth surrendering every lesser treasure to gain. And that something is actually someone, Him. You see, when Christ is your treasure, money stops being your master. You're no longer a slave to the uncertainty of the economy or the pressure to keep up. Your peace isn't tied to your portfolio. It's anchored in something unshakable. God's kingdom. That's exactly what Paul discovered. In Philippians 3, 7 and 8, he writes, "Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." Paul had status, power, religious influence, but once he encountered Jesus, all of that became secondary. He found the pearl, and he gave up everything to have it. The same is true of the Macedonian believers in 2 Corinthians 8. Though they were living in poverty, Paul says they gave with joy and generosity because they understood the treasure they had in Christ. That's the paradox of the kingdom. When you release your grip on material things, you're free to take hold of eternal things. You begin to see giving not as loss, but as gain, not as risk, but as worship. But let's acknowledge something here. There are days when the treasure feels far away, when joy gives way to fear, when anxiety drowns out trust. Jesus knew we'd face those days. That's why he says in Matthew 10, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." God sees you. He knows your needs, and his care for you is not based on your net worth. It's based on your infinite worth to him. That's the heartbeat of our 21-day devotional, Look at the Sparrows, a resource we created here at FaithFi to speak directly to the financial fear and anxiety that so many are facing right now. Each day it helps recenter your heart on God's promises, on his presence, on his provision. Because when you're standing in a storm, you need more than a budget. You need a savior. And he's not far off. As Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Jesus isn't just part of your financial life. He is your life. He is the treasure worth everything. And when you find him, you'll never look at money the same way again. You'll begin to steward what you have with open hands, not clenched fists. You'll invest in what matters most. You'll trade the stress of accumulation for the peace of contentment. And yes, joy will return. So if your heart is anxious today, remember the man in the field, remember the merchant with the pearl, and remember the Savior who invites you to find lasting treasure in him. If you want to go deeper, pick up your copy of Look at the Sparrows at faithfi.com. Just click on Shop to order or place a bulk order for your church or small group. That's faithfi.com. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
The weekend is almost here. Maybe you're looking forward to some time with friends or getting some rest, and weekends can give us that, but don't miss out on resting in Christ, gathering with God's people to worship. This isn't just routine. It's joyful response to who God is and what He's done. Psalm 100 reminds us, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Our God is worthy of our praise. He created us, He redeemed us through Jesus. So this weekend, come ready to worship and let joy fill your heart as you praise Him. Try out Anchor Devotional today. Just visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
The Holy Spirit wants to unleash His power into your life. But first, you need to plug into the power source. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress describes how prayer and the church can help us experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives. Join us for the series titled Unleashed, this week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Our team is away today, so don't call in, but we lined up some great questions in advance, and we'll be going to those here in just a moment. Let me also remind you that the advice that I give each day on this program is general in nature. We offer principles and ideas that apply at a high level. They are not personalized, so that's why you should always seek professional financial advice. And if you'd like to find a professional who shares your values, we, of course, here at Faith and Finance recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. These are men and women who've met high standards, and they've been trained to bring a biblical worldview of financial decision-making. You can find one at faithfi.com. We're going to begin today in Chicago. Hi, Peter. How can I help?
I just had a question that had nothing to do with the investment, but I had have a whole life insurance. We've been paying it for, it's about 9 years. I've been paying like $7,280, so we're at the 7,000 mark, I guess. And I was just, you know, we spoke to the agent a couple of days ago. I don't know if I should just cash it in since, you know, we're almost at that. It's a policy for 10,000, so I don't know if I should just cash it in.
Yeah. So the policy is on whose life and who is the beneficiary?
I'm the beneficiary, and it's my mom's policy.
Okay. And so it's a $10,000 policy. Is this like a burial policy?
Yeah, it's like a burial policy.
All right. And you're paying how much per month?
$72.80.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so you're spending $850 a year, a little more than that,
right,
for a $10,000 policy. What is your mom's age?
She's 87 now, 80, 85 now, something like that.
Okay. 87. And is she in pretty good health?
She's pretty healthy. I think she's healthier than me, actually.
All right. And who's paying the premium? Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, well, it's a joint account, so we've been, I guess, both paying the premium. So
you kind of divide it down the middle?
Yeah, well, it's just, electronically from the bank, from our savings.
Ah, okay. Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, I mean, as long as you have the assets to cover the expenses, I would say, this is probably the time to cash it in. What is the cash value? Do you know right now?
I think it's $2,400 from what I understood a couple of days ago, conversation that we had.
Okay. Yeah. So a couple of $1,000 they would give you?
Yeah, $2,400.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I mean, the average cost of a funeral with a burial is somewhere around $8,000 to $12,000. So I would just say, if you've got those funds available, you spend in nearly $1,000 a year for this, and that could continue well into the future. Especially if you could get not only recoup $865 a year, but get $2,600 back out. That kind of starts your savings. And if you just did nothing more than add that $2,600 to a savings account and then put an extra $1,000 a year in it, in not too long, you'd have your essentially $10,000 that you were going to have with this policy. And if she lives, into her 90s or beyond, you're in good shape to being able to afford this and recoup that money right now, which I suspect you could, do something with. So, I would probably be more inclined for you to go ahead and cancel it and take the cash value.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because we were kind of leaning towards that. And then, we do have some savings and stuff like that saved up, and we keep just saving up. She does want to be cremated anyway, so.
Okay. Yeah, and that, yeah, I mean, from a cost standpoint, I mean, that's going to be obviously more cost effective. I mean, a cremation with a memorial service is, somewhere around $3,000 to $7,000. So even less than that. So I think, you're in a situation where, again, you've got some money, you've got some sunk cost in here that you didn't need to, you haven't collected on, but you've got some cash value. So taking that, putting it away, adding a couple of additional thousand to it, but then from that point forward, recouping that extra thousand a year in your budget between you and your mom, I think is a better use of that money personally.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you so much, Wes. I appreciate it.
All right. Absolutely, Peter. God bless you, my friend. Let's see. We're going to go to Florence in Chicago as well. How can I help?
Hi, Rob. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
So, I was trying to save for my kids. I have 10 years and 8-year-old, and I opened this savings account that I've been putting some money in there. I have about $12,000 apiece in each, and I was wondering what is the best educational policy of investment account that I can use for them when they're ready for college.
Got it. Yeah, there's really a few options that most people consider. One is called a 529 college savings plan. The other is called a Coverdale educational savings account. The third is just a straight custodial account. You might hear it referred to as a UTMA, which stands for Uniform Transfer to Minors Act. And really, among those, the one that I like the most is the 529. It's ideal for high savers. There are tax benefits, and it's really, if you're starting early, it can work to your advantage pretty significantly. So essentially, you put the money away, you put in after-tax dollars, but it grows tax-free. And then so long as you take it out for qualified educational expenses, including up to $10,000 a year for K-12 tuition, if you wanted it for that, and some for even a loan repayment, if you had that option, then you take it out tax-free. So you get all the growth tax-free, and then many states offer a tax deduction. You'd have to check with the state of Illinois. And then to choose the 529 that's best for you, I'd go to a website, savingforcollege.com. You'd answer a series of questions, and then it would compare the 529 college savings in Illinois to other states' plans based on not only the parameters of the plan, but also, more importantly, the past performance of the funds in the plan, and it will make recommendations on which state to use because you don't have to use your state's plan. So that is my preferred option for you, and you can, you know, get the money out on a pro rata basis based on any scholarships or grants that the kids may earn, and so you'd be able to take it out without any penalty. If you had some left over, you could transfer it to another child, or you could roll it over time into a Roth IRA for the child that could seed, you know, a pretty significant retirement account that could grow over, you know, 40 or 50 years from that point, you know, that they could access much further down the road. So, you know, that's my preferred approach, but give me your thoughts on that.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome.
I'm pretty new to the system, and I have been having thoughts, and I don't know what to do. So
yeah,
I've been listening to your program, and I decided to call in to get some.
Well, I'm so glad.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. I mean, the only downside is with that savings account, the way you've got it, you know, you've got basically you can use it for any purpose. And so if you decided it, you know, that you want to give it to the kids to use for some other purpose other than college, you'd have freedom to do that. You're just not going to earn as much money if it sits in the savings account. And whatever you do earn, the taxes are going to be a drag on that. And so by getting the money into a 529, getting it invested, getting more conservative as you get closer to college, but getting that tax-free growth, and then having the options to transfer it to another child or roll it forward into a Roth if you don't need it, or getting it out based on scholarships or grants, I think gives you ultimate flexibility. So again, that website to learn more, savingforcollege.com. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Some would say truth is relative, and to the world, that's right. What the world considers to be truth fluctuates depending on the narrative they're trying to promote. Of course, we know truth is found in Scripture, and it never changes. The documentary, The God Who Speaks, proves the Bible's reliability as the source of real truth and reinforces our belief in it as our firm foundation. Watch it anytime at stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider. And select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
I'm Dr. Ray Rooney. The mission of American Family Association is to inform, equip, and activate individuals and families to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and give aid to the church here and abroad in its task of fulfilling the Great Commission. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President Ed Battagliano.
One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. Let's head right back to the phones to Chicago. Randall, you've been waiting patiently, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. Question regarding Social Security. It used to be called a windfall provision, government pension offset. I believe that's no longer in effect, correct?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. Would you have been subject to that? What type of work were you in?
Firefighter, paramedic, 30 years, and then I worked in the private sector also. So I had my 40 quarters, you know, in Social Security.
Exactly.
I heard the news, and I was like, I know you spoke on that before, and I was like, wow. So I figured just to check with you and see what your thoughts were.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that, of course, reduced Social Security benefits for those with pensions from jobs not covered by Social Security taxes, and that would include many firefighting roles. So essentially, you know, that then reduced the amount that you were receiving from your benefit. You know, normally, I mean, it in some cases, it could be, you know, between 40% and 90%. And so that could be, you know, max reduction, I think, of around $600 a month. So it was repealed, you know, in the Social Security Fairness Act that I think was signed into law very like the first week of January. And it eliminated not only the windfall elimination, but what's called the government pension offset, very similar. For benefits payable after December 2023. So there's a one-time payment that's made covering the windfall elimination reductions from January of 24 to December 24. And those started going out in February. I think those were supposed to have been completed by the end of March. Did you ever get that?
No, I'm not eligible yet for that. So I just wanted information. I know some of the other colleagues of mine were
got
eligible.
It. Yeah. So for those that were already collecting benefits, they would have already gotten that. They sent over $7 billion in retroactive payments. And then for monthly benefits, it was starting in the April check for March benefits. So for those who, you know, never haven't applied yet, it will just no longer be an issue whatsoever.
Perfect. All right. Thanks for the information. Greatly appreciate it.
Yeah. And thanks for your service as a first responder. We appreciate your call today, Randall. God bless you. El Paso, Texas is where Daniel's located. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. I was calling because my wife and I are over 50. We do not have a retirement plan. My wife does not work. And we have a vacant lot that's worth about $45,000. And we're thinking of what we can sell it, you know, once selling it, what we can, you know, invest it into to get ready for our retirement.
Yeah. How far off is retirement for you guys?
Oh, I still got, I'm 53. So I got, I plan to work till I'm 70. So if everything goes well, so I think I've got some time still.
Yeah, absolutely you do. And, you know, who knows what God's going to lead you to in that season of life. I don't think ceasing all productivity is part of God's plan. That may involve some work, you know, even for pay, as you think about that. But certainly we should be setting aside something for the future. I totally agree about that. I think we just need to always be asking the question, how much is enough? But clearly, in your case, you're kind of playing some catch up. So I think, you know, the first question is, and we'll talk about this a lot, do you have surplus such that you could begin putting something away systematically, even beyond liquidating this property?
I think, yeah, I mean, we can go into our budget and make some adjustments and start, you know, putting, you know, something in, we're kind of that stage in life where, you know, we're not really in debt. You know, and we do have surplus, you know, every month.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's important because your most powerful wealth building tool is your income. And so your ability to limit lifestyle, create surplus that allows you to sock something away, especially if you have a retirement plan. Do you have a retirement plan available at work?
Well, the thing is that we had one at work, and it was a simple IRA is what they called it. And they stopped it for, they said that they stopped it for now, but they're going to restart it. We do have something in there. But at this point right now, they haven't activated it again.
Okay. So at a very minimum, you guys should be putting away in a Roth IRA. And, you know, you could do one for yourself, one for your wife, whether or not she's working. And, you know, that would give you the ability, to start socking away some money on a tax-favored basis. With the Roth IRA, it would allow you, as if you're 50 or older, you could put in $8,000. So that'd be $16,000 for the two of you. You could open an account at, let's say, Fidelity or Schwab and just set up an automatic contribution. With the land, I like the idea that you would sell that. I mean, the downside of land is, especially vacant land, I mean, you've got expenses like property taxes. It tends to be more illiquid. You're not generating any income. So unless you lease it for, farming or parking or something like that, it produces no cash flow. And so you've got the risk of stagnation or decline where it doesn't appreciate. That's certainly not guaranteed. And then you've got these carrying costs without any income. So for that reason, I think I'd take advantage of this hot real estate market. I mean, it may or may not apply here depending on where that land is and what's going on around it. The only reason to keep it is if you talk to a real estate professional who says, hey, there's a big change. Like people are moving into this area or there's not been infrastructure and it's about to come in because this is the next wave of, of development. Well, then this may, you don't want to miss out on a dramatic increase in the price of this. But if you've evaluated that and you really don't think anything's changing anytime soon, I would liquidate it, sell it, and then use that money to get invested. Maybe that becomes the seed capital for that retirement account. But then, and especially until they open the simple IRA or maybe even alongside it, I'd be fully funding Roth IRAs because, you guys have 20 years, but, that's going to go quick. And I think your ability to put something away and have it grow on a compounded basis is really key.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea. I just call it to get some advice. The good thing about this property is that it's gone up in value since we bought it because they brought all the utilities in already. So I do get constant phone calls, from developers that want to buy.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'd probably get with a real estate professional who knows the area and just say, listen, is there anything that's about to change that could dramatically affect the market value of this property? If not, this may be the time to sell. Hey, thanks for your call today. God bless you, my friend. Back with much more on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering faith-honoring mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners Limited and ETFs distributed by Foreside Funds Services, LLC. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal.
Wall Builders is dedicated to revealing the truth behind America's founding. Here's Tim Barton, president of Wall Builders.
Our goal here at Wall Builders is to present America's forgotten history and heroes, emphasizing the religious, moral, and constitutional heritage and foundation of our nation. Today, so few people recognize what has made this nation really the most successful, prosperous nation in the history of the world. It's a biblical foundation.
Listen to Wall Builders Live, Sunday mornings at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Feeling burdened by credit card debt? As faithful stewards, we are called to manage our finances wisely. Christian credit counselors can help with a debt management program that allows you to pay off debt up to 80% faster, while honoring your commitments with integrity. Don't let debt hold you back from the life God has planned for you. Take the first step toward peace and financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org.
Right now, more people than ever are looking for biblical wisdom to navigate their finances, and you can help meet that need. When you become a FaithFi partner, you're equipping believers to trust God, steward His resources well, and live with kingdom purpose. Partners receive early access to our newest resources, our quarterly Faithful Steward magazine, and the pro version of the FaithFi app. Become a FaithFi partner with your gift of $35 a month or $400 a year at faithfi.com/partner.
I'll do some stand-up comedy, Abe will do some preaching, Tim will MC the whole thing, and I'm really excited about it. The Weekend with AFA is a chance for our supporters to get better acquainted with the people and ministry you're supporting.
It's a Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance as we provide a hopeful, encouraging, biblical message of financial decision-making. You know, it's all about looking through the lens of Scripture, holding what God has entrusted to us loosely so we can give generously. I would submit that's the primary purpose for which God has entrusted resources to us, clearly to provide for ourselves and our families. But I think so often we get stuck in an endless list of needs and wants, never getting beyond that to the opportunity to serve those on our path and be generous, supporting the work of the Lord. Think about that today as you consider your role as a steward in managing God's money. We'll head out to Kansas next. Ron, you'll be next up on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Appreciate you taking this call and appreciate everything you guys do. God bless you all.
Thank you, Ron.
You're welcome. I'm 60 years old. I've worked at the same job for 40 years and become chemical sensitive to the products we make in there, and I can no longer work there anymore. Yep. And in the profession I do, it's very physical labor, and my body is not capable of doing that anymore, so I'm basically at retirement before retirement. I have all bills paid, house paid off, no payments whatsoever. I can live, I'm single, I can live on $25,000 a year. I have $500,000 saved up in CDs. I have $60,000 in the bank for myself. And I'm thinking of doing half of the $500,000 in a lifetime mutual fund.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a wise thing to do, and just trying to see for sure what I should do.
Yeah. And then do you have any income sources? I assume you didn't take Social Security early. But...
I have one rental house.
Okay.
I receive $625 a month on, and it's a rent to own. He's a really good gentleman. His family has special needs. So I've made a deal with him. He's very honest and helps me a lot.
So you won't have...
He's been renting for me for like 30 years almost.
Okay. So there's not a lump sum, a balloon coming at the end. He'll just continue to pay out the $625 and then eventually own it?
Right. It was kind of set up to where when I retire at 65.
Okay. So there's five more years on that?
Right.
All right. And that $75,000, is that a part of the $25,000 a year that you need to live, or is that $25,000 after you bring in the $7,500 in rental income?
No. I can my bills, health insurance, everything comes to about $25,000 a year.
Yeah.
I don't have any house payment, no car payments.
Okay. So with the $7,500 you're bringing in from rental income, you only need $17,500 for the next 5 years. Am I doing that math right?
Yeah, that would be
correct. Okay, very good. All right, and where is that coming from right now? Are you pulling that from the retirement account?
No, I'm not pulling anything out. I have, right now, I'm collecting interest on CDs.
Okay, so you're just
about 22 off the CDs.
Got
a
it.
Year.
Okay. All right. So you're living off the CD interest as they pay that out, plus the rental income, and that's covering your bills. And you're wondering, you know, what to do moving forward. When are those CDs laddered, like stacked up with different maturities, or are they all with the same maturity?
No, actually, one matures here in 6 days.
Okay.
And the other one matures on 11/1.
Okay. And how many total CDs do you have?
Two. Both of them are $250,000.
All right. Got it. And when you said the lifetime mutual fund, are you basically talking about a life cycle fund that's a target date fund that's tied to your retirement date?
This, from what I understand, is a 6.5 that I would receive basically for the rest of my life.
Okay, so this is an annuity?
I'd put 200 at 260,000, I would receive 17.5 a year.
Okay.
For the rest of my life.
So this is an insurance product, is that right?
Right, yes.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I mean, so here you are. You're in a obviously a really good spot. You're living very modestly. You've accumulated some assets. I love that you've got $60,000 in that emergency fund. You got another $500,000 on top of it. You've been very conservative with that. You know, you need basically 5% a year once that rental income goes away on the $500,000 just to be able to pay your bills. It's a little higher than I'd like. I'd love to get that down to 4%, but CDs over the long haul are not going to get that done. So that's the only risk that you have, because, you know, CDs are, even though the rates have been more attractive right now, you know, right now you can get between 4% and 5%. I suspect that's what you've got on your high yield CDs right now. Typically, they're going to struggle to outpace inflation with normal rates. And so with inflation running 2-3%, you know, you're barely going to keep up with inflation if you have all this money in CDs, you know, in order to cover your lifestyle expenses. So that's why we would typically have at the age of 60, maybe a 50-50 portfolio, 50% in probably high quality bonds like government bonds, you know, that are paying a little bit more. And then the other 50% in a conservative stock allocation. And then the blend of the two, you know, should absolutely allow you to pull that 4-5% a year and never dip down into the principal. Now, you have market risk, both on the bond and the stock side, so clearly it could go down. But historically, you should do well because you'd be fairly conservatively invested. You're in the strongest and biggest economy in the world. Yeah, we're going through, you know, a little bit of a downturn right now. The economy's slowing. That's typical. It hasn't happened in a long time. In fact, we're overdue. But I would say long term, I think the U.S. economy does well. And I think in terms of you outpacing inflation, being able to pull a modest income from this savings that you have to fund your lifestyle and never run out of money, even if you need, you know, long-term care for a couple of years, I think that's the best option in my view. But you would need to be willing to take on some risk, and I would do it with an advisor. But if you said, Rob, I just don't have peace of mind around that, I really like to stay on the most conservative end of the risk spectrum, well, that would be continuing probably, you know, something like you have now with a combination of the CDs and probably an insurance product. I typically don't, you know, make insurance products my first option, because even though you can get some of those more attractive yields like you talked about, where it's guaranteed as a fixed annuity, where you can pull an income stream for life based on your life expectancy, the downside is you give up access to the money without significant penalties. So there's just, you're adding a lot of complexity, and then, you know, you've got the taxes to go along with it. So do I think that's a bad option? No, not if you said, Rob, my top priority is safety and risk aversion. I would say, well, then banking products and something like what you're describing on an annuity could work for you. I would just probably say before I lock that in, I'd get with a few certified Kingdom advisors and see if you can't come up with a better option that gives you the income you need with a very modest amount of risk, but still gives you access to the money if you needed larger chunks of it, namely for health-related issues down the road. So think and pray on that, Ron. Hopefully that gives you a few other thoughts. We'll be right back.
Be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the Giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are Giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
Today's Issues, offering understanding and encouragement.
To those of you who may be worried, let me remind you that our God reigns.
AFA President Tim Wildman is joined by a host of godly voices to help make sense of the news of the day.
Once they take the word experimental off of it, I might feel better about it.
Right. It's only a few outlets like you at American Family Radio that are bothering to report it.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Here in our final segment, we'll get to as many calls as we can. Let's see, we'll go out to Tennessee and welcome Kay. Hi, Kay. Go right ahead.
Hi there. I am calling to see if I can just get some wisdom in terms of what I should do. I've been thrust into a bit of a situation, a challenging one at that. My mom, who is only 66 years old, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's about 8 months ago. And this last month or so, her cognition has deteriorated so to the point where she has just been place in an assisted living type of facility, and I imagine at some juncture it will be memory care. She only has about $57,000 a year coming in for her care. She works for the government, so she has a thrift or a TSP. And at this juncture, I was considering doing some automatic installments, but it's not a whole lot of money. It's only about $300,000, and if she lives long, that's very problematic. But if not, I'm trying to figure out a way to potentially strategize and understand if there's a way that I can steward her money the best way possible, knowing this is a pretty emergent issue. I have looked. Yeah. She does not have long-term care insurance. She does have a home that has about $220,000 worth of equity that I could sell. But outside of that, I just am at a little bit of a loss. So if you can provide any help,
that would be awesome. Well, first of all, I'm so sorry. I know I've not been through this personally, but I know that there's a lot of weight on you as her daughter and a power of attorney, not to mention just the health struggles that she has. And I know that is demanding on you. And so, the finances are just one more thing. And so I'm thrilled to hear you're leaning into this. I think kind of at a high level, getting an advisor, if you don't have one locally, to kind of go through all of this in detail would be really important, but we could certainly start that process now. What are her assets? I mean, you said she's got a home that she's got about $220,000 in equity in. She's got a TSP that you said has about $300,000. Is that right?
Yes, about $310,000. That's about all she has in there.
Any other assets?
Just Not really. She has, I mean, she paid for a car, but that's not going to do even a month's worth of what we're having to do at this juncture. I really feel like there's nothing, but okay. I'm just trying to see if I'm not seeing, you know, cause it's not my wheelhouse exactly.
No, I appreciate that. Has she started taking Social Security?
Yes, just started taking it in January.
Okay. All right. So her income, total income is what? Just Social Security or does she have something else?
And Social Security and whatever her government retirement was together, they are just like $4,800 a month. That's it.
Okay. And what are your, what is her monthly expenses running right now?
$6,500.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, I mean, on the $300,000, you know, you could go ahead and get that invested properly. What is her age?
66.
Okay. I mean, so normally I realize she's got, you know, health condition here, but normally at 65, we would say, you know, maybe a 60-40 portfolio with 40% in stock. So if you left it there in the TSP, that would probably be, you know, half of that 40% in the C fund, and then maybe the other half in the S and the I, and then the balance, the rest of it, the 60% in the F fund, which is the fixed income option, which is more like bonds. And then the goal there would be, you know, to be able to pull about 4% a year. So be able to maintain that, but that's, you know, $12,000 a year. So that's $1,000 a month. And, you know, you said she's at $4,800. So that would put her at $5,800, but that doesn't quite do it, right? What are her expenses?
Correct. Really, at this juncture, just everything associated with the assisted living facility, nothing else. Because she had no, I mean, she still has money on her mortgage to pay, but outside of that, she didn't have any other debt. She was.
Okay, and you said she needs $6,500 a month?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so $1,700 a month on $300,000. I mean, she'd need to pull a bit more than that. We're probably looking at, about 8%, I guess, a year that she would need. Well, I guess not quite that much because she only needs $1,700. So maybe 6 or 7% a year. So that's not terrible. And, you know, I think that would be one option. The other option is, you know, if she were to sell the house because you feel like she's not going back there, all of a sudden, you know, now she's got $520,000 and that's a different ballgame. Because now, you know, even if there's capital gains, although if she's lived there two out of the last 5 years prior to the sale, there's probably not any capital gains tax. So, you know, 4% a year on $520,000. You know, all of a sudden now that's $1,700 a month. And, you know, that you should be able to maintain for the rest of her life. And then we add to that the $4,800 she's already bringing in. Now we're at your $6,500 a month. And, you know, I think that's very reasonable. It's not like we're stretching to make that happen. And then it would just be a matter of, I think, finding an advisor that could manage that roughly $525,000 between the TSP that you'd likely roll to an IRA and then the proceeds of the house in a taxable investment account. The two of them together managed by an advisor with the goal of making at least 4% a year to offset what you're pulling out as a monthly income stream when added to her Social Security, all of a sudden gives her, you know, what she needs to continue to live there and never run out of money.
I got you. Thank you. One more question, if I may. So when I went to kind of like dummy the TSP withdrawal, it looked like what 20% is taken out for tax. Would that be accurate?
They're just estimating. So it's all taxable as income. And so, you know, depending on how much other income she has, it may end up being less than that as the marginal tax rate. But they're just going to withhold that as an estimate. And then whatever you owe at the end of the year. And if that ended up being more than you needed, then you would get a refund when she files her return. You know, I think the key would be not to take it out in lump sums, but probably just to set up a monthly income stream to her from the TSP that would allow you to, you know, just have, you know, pay tax on only what she uses in a calendar year.
That's exactly what. Thank you so much. Yep. That's what I was set up. Right. I thought maybe I didn't have a motion for that. I still appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, listen, if you want to find a certified Kingdom advisor there in Tennessee, just head to faithfi.com and click find a professional. But all the best to you and your mom. So thankful to have you on the program today and call anytime. Let's see, going down to Kansas. Hey, Paul, how can I help you, sir?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My question is about a donor-advised fund. I use that fund in order to do my charitable contributions. And so I set up the gifting online through the brokerage, donor advised fund, and I can, it gives me options how to direct the gift. Like I can give it to a church or you know, other entities, but
yeah,
with my church, I can give it to the general fund or a building fund. It has various different options, like missions, for example.
Yeah.
And my specific question today is with regard to a summer mission trip. Our church sponsors, or people at church sponsor, summer mission trips where people will go for a week or a couple weeks. And they send out letters to people, and then people like myself may sponsor them. But the brokerage website doesn't offer that kind of a detail. I'm wondering, is it legal from an IRS standpoint to contribute from a donor advised fund directly to an individual going on a mission trip, or should it just go to the general missions fund?
Yeah, it's a great question. And that's really what it's going to come down to. Is there anything that prohibits you from giving from a donor advised fund? And ultimately, it's the donor advised fund sponsor that has to make the gift. You're just making a recommendation. But as long as it fits within the IRS rules and regs, you know, normally they just, you know, do whatever the you request that they do as the one who, you know, open the account. But in terms of, you know, you being able to give to a designated fund, there is not any issue with that, so long as the designated fund is used for the nonprofit purpose of the 501c3, in this case, the church, which it would be to fund missions, but also that you don't get a personal benefit and that you're not naming the recipient of the gift. So I think that's where we'd come, you know, there may be an issue. Can you give to XYZ Church dash mission fund generally, and then it's used for their tax exempt purpose and they make the decision on who gets it? Yes. Can you give it to XYZ Church dash Billy's mission trip? No. That would be, you know, where there's a personal benefit there. So I think what you need to do is, if you can't provide some sort of notation on the donor advised fund gift on the brokerage firm's portal, then you would just want to call the church and let them know that the gift is coming and that's your intent as the donor, and they would likely honor that. So I can't see any reason why you couldn't accomplish this. The IRS certainly wouldn't prohibit you as long as you meet the criteria I just mentioned.
Okay. Well, thanks. Then the church won't be doing anything wrong if they get a recommendation from me for, say, a trip to a certain country, and they know that it's a 2-week short-term mission trip, and they'll.
Yeah. No, I don't think there should be any issue there. I mean, normally it would be a little more broad than that, but again, I don't think there's any problem as long as you're not giving it through a donor advised fund mechanism with the intent of it ultimately landing on, you know, for the benefit of a particular individual that you're trying to direct funds to. But if you're giving it generally to the church for a mission trip, and they're ultimately selecting who the recipient or recipients are, then I think you're in the clear there. But you're going to want to talk to the church and talk to your brokerage fund firm just to make sure you get that squared away. All right?
Okay, thank you.
All right. God bless you, my friend. Folks, grateful to have you along with us today. I'm thankful for my team today, Adam, Devin, and Jim. Couldn't do it without them. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.